Blog Talk Radio.
Special technique. Special technique of shadow boxing.
Hey, yo, what's going on, everybody? Just coming in here live, impromptu, Labor Day edition of the Boxing Source Radio Show. Here in New York City. So we have a Labor Day edition of the Boxing Source Radio Show here in New York City. Here for about an hour live, and then maybe about 15 to 30 minutes, probably more than 30 minutes overtime, if any. Dial in is 347-237-5539. That is 347-237-5539. Press the 1 key to get on queue. You'll be able to talk live on the show. Like I was saying, here in New York City, pretty much in the, I wouldn't say Times Square area or something like that, but just close by Madison Square Garden. And there will be some activity in the New York City area next weekend, or this coming Saturday, as you're going to have the vacant WBC welterweight championship on the run, as Danny Garcia will be facing Sean Showtime Porter. And it will be for, like I said, the vacant WBC welterweight championship. And it will be at the Barclays Center. And it will be televised live on Showtime. Once again, live on Showtime. And it's going to be a pretty intriguing fight going on there between these two welterweights. Of course, the common denominator between both guys is that they both did lose to Keith Thurman. Sean Porter lost Keith Thurman in summer that 2016, and then in March of last year, you had Danny Garcia lose to Keith Thurman, where at the time Danny Garcia did have the WBC welterweight championship. Keith Thurman won the WBA championship. And so that was a unification fight that was at the Barclays Center. Very well attended. It was a fairly good fight that, you know, I just felt that, you know, they kind of like scrapped for a good few rounds. And then Keith Thurman just went to box Danny Garcia and kind of like coasted to a decision win. And in my opinion, I don't think it was really that close. But now with the fact that Keith Thurman is injured, therefore the WBC belt was vacated. So now you're going to have, like I was saying, Danny Garcia and Sean Porter face each other for the WBC Welterweight Championship. Let me see if I can get in the caller here. Area code 813, what's going on with you?
Hey, what's up, Jay? This is Terrell calling from Tampa. And real quick, just to kind of go in on what you're referring to now with upcoming bout this week between Garcia and Porter. Just curious enough, I was actually able to watch Thurman Porter, which happened back in 2016, and Thurman Garcia all of a sudden back-to-back, which happened last year, of course, when, of course, Thurman beat Garcia via split decision to unify the titles at welterweight and everything. So I'll tell you what, I'm so looking – I mean, we're definitely looking forward to this bout. And what I was really looking forward to try to gauge between the two fighters was, of course, they had a common opponent in Thurman. We know that. And we know that in Thurman Porter – that was a pretty much a 12-round rocking, socking type event where each one of those fighters were trying to impose their style upon on the other. Porter, as we know, is a come-ahead fighter, rough house style. We know that. He likes to get physical, likes to fight in the pocket, and likes to try to take the energy from your opponent. Whereas Garcia is definitely more the clean, classic counterpuncher. He definitely has power. We know that. This fight is so interesting for so many different reasons, because we want to know which style can win. But I'm really, after watching those fights again today, I'm definitely leaning more towards Porter. One thing I observed when Thurman fought each one of those guys, he wasn't as hesitant to come in with Porter and fire shots around the third or fourth round. He let Porter kind of use some of that energy up. And then he started to counter him and box him and step into the side, things like that. Whereas when Thurman fought Garcia, I'm not saying he didn't respect him, but he definitely left himself open for shots and trying to fire his own shots going back at Garcia. So with that said, we know that Porter's definitely one of the more stronger welterweights out there in the division right now, if not the physically strongest and roughest. And I think that's going to be a little bit too much for Danny Garcia to get out of range of. I mean, it's going to be an ugly fight, but Garcia's going to have his moments, which going to have some good counters, good hooks, stuff like that, for Porter to come out victorious on this day with that belt.
Yeah, I mean, my thing is that I'm kind of like intrigued to see what happens with this particular fight on Danny Garcia's side, because to me, I felt like Danny Garcia, even when he got to the welterweight division, I really didn't feel like he was fully into being at welterweight. So, you know, even though he was able to, you know, get the WBC title when he did, I think it was against Robert Guerrero. That was against Robert Guerrero. That was clearly on his way downward. And he really hasn't had that type of fight against a valid welterweight other than Keith Thurman. And I felt in that particular fight, he tried to brawl with Keith Thurman in those first few rounds. And then, you know, after all of that, he didn't really have a plan B. Keith Thurman was able to adjust and be able to box Danny Garcia. And you really didn't see, you know, Danny Garcia's father, you know, come up with a plan B for this particular That's why I felt like Keith Thurman coasted to a victory, even though the judges may have said or thought differently, but I just felt like it was completely different there. So that's what I pretty much got out of that here real quick so far. But I'm going to try to add another person on to the line. Area code 202, what's going on with you?
What's up, fellas? Happy Labor Day. We got college football. We got a holiday being off from work. We got talking boxing, so this is a good day.
Yeah, I think Brother Terrell may know why I'm over in the New York area, and it's not for tennis and it's not for college football. So that's partially why we have a Labor Day radio show. But what's going on there, World Rank?
Just chilling. I hear y'all talking about the Danny Garcia Sean Porter fight coming up. I'm very interested in this fight. This is an important fight for both of them. I think it's especially important for Danny Garcia because Garcia's on that. He's on that level where he's kind of in between the very good level and the elite level. He's kind of in that between area. So this is a big fight for him to kind of make a statement. I agree with Terrell about the style matchup. I think this could be an ugly fight. And I'm kind of torn on it because in one respect, I want to see – I'm not necessarily in love with Sean Porter's style per se. And I think he can make for ugly fights, and I think people will find a way not to give him credit if he continues to win under that style. But then again, I think he has more of a chance to actually fighting the top of the welterweight division. Danny Garcia is clearly shown as the A side, so I think he can get a lot of leeway in terms of not fighting certain guys. You know, I don't think Sean Porter has that option. So because of that, I kind of would like Sean Porter not necessarily win because I don't necessarily have a dog in the fight. But I think if he wins, he's more likely to face Errol Spence than Danny Garcia is. One thing Danny Garcia is going to have to do in his fight, he needs a little range to throw his left hook. Porter's obviously not going to give him that range. But one thing Danny is good at, he is kind of he's not fleet of foot, so he's going to stand there and trade with Porter. So he's going to have his opportunity and his chances to hit Porter because Porter's going to be right in his chest. And Porter's been shown in a lot of recent fights from Broner, even the Berto fight, he can get hurt. Even though his style is chin down and hands up, he can be hit. He can be hurt. I can actually see Garcia hurting him at some point. But this is going to be a very good fight, but I think it's going to be very competitive fight. It's going to be a good competitive fight.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting to see if Garcia is going to be able to land that left hook and how would it have an effect on Porter.
Yeah, I think it's going to be kind of like an intriguing fight to me. I mean, I'm trying to figure out either if it's going to be a very close little scrap, or is it going to be a kind of like a sloppy fight? Because of course Porter is known for trying to make fights sloppy at times, and so with that, it's going to be up to Garcia to kind of like get away from all of that and to stop from getting smothered. So what he would need is a good counter-punching game to kind of, keep Porter at bay. And like you said, see if he'll be able to hurt Porter at times during the fight. Because if he's not able to hurt Porter, or if he's not able to stun him, then Porter is going to try to, smother him up and try to walk right through him. And so, that's what I'm looking for. I don't see a Danny Garcia fighting a fight against Sean Porter like Keith Thurman tried to fight his fight against Sean Porter, where he tried to you know, utilize his jab, use some type of range, you know, move around with his feet a lot. Even though he was to the ropes, he kind of like moved laterally around the ropes so that, you know, he wasn't necessarily at one spot for Sean Porter to like focus on him and then try to get to him. So, you know, that's what I'm kind of like looking for in this particular matchup between these two to see what Danny Garcia is going to be able to do and see if he's going to be able to box Sean Porter, because if he doesn't, then I just don't expect him to be able to survive 12 rounds through this particular matchup. Terrell, you got something on it?
Yeah, I mean, definitely along those same lines. And one thing that I know I took notice of last week, Angel Garcia said that his son's going to knock Porter out. And that's the question of, does Garcia have enough power to actually knock him down and let alone knock him out? Me personally, I don't think so. And I don't think he's had all that much power to, like I said, to knock him out. And kind of what I detailed about that, now with Porter on the Porter side, hopefully at this point he's learned from the past couple of years, there's some things he needs to clean up. I mean, we know that Porter's always going to be that rough style. We know that. But if he can just kind of clean that up some and box a little more and have some more controlled aggression, he can avoid some of those big left hooks, things like that, that he may be susceptible to from Garcia. If he can, like I said, control that rage and avoid that. But like I said, personally, I do not see Garcia knocking him out, let alone knocking him down, unless there's some kind of flash. It's not going to happen. Not going to happen. And I tend to think that Porter's going to win this fight. I'm thinking of 117, 114, all three cards, something like that. 8 rounds to 4. I just think that Porter's aggressiveness is just going to be just too much for Garcia to overcome. And Garcia's going to have these moments. Some good counters, we know that. But I think Porter is more than capable of taking that power from Garcia and walking right through it.
Hey, Terrell.
Yeah.
Do you think Garcia is more powerful than Adrian Broner?
And like I feel, I just watched those two fights today, and I saw that, put it like this, Porter definitely stunned Thurman. Porter definitely stunned Thurman on a few occasions. Did Garcia ever stun Thurman? No, not in my observation. So in that regard, my answer would that be no. It's no.
Okay, I think, for me, I think Thurman is not a barometer to either one of those guys. I think Thurman's style is not the same as either Garcia's or Porter's. So I can't use Thurman as a barometer, because Thurman boxed, and neither one of these guys, to me, are good at boxing. If Porter sits on the outside and try to box, he's a short welterweight. He can't do that. He's not going to win. Garcia, he can do that, but Garcia, he can sit on the outside and throw punches, but he's not patient enough to do that. So I think from the start of the fight, this is going to be an end fight. I just think Porter has slipped a little bit where he's been getting hurt more than he was when he first made his name, when he was running through Devin Alexander and Kell Brook and those guys. He wasn't getting hit as much as he is now. I thought Berto stunned him a couple of times, and I think he's going to be there to get hit. The question is, and Garcia normally needs range to land this left hook, but I do think he's powerful enough, even on the inside, to land something on Porter that he does not see. And I think Porter's best defense is his offense. And I don't think he's that defensively responsible without using his offense. So I think Garcia – Porter is the better inside fighter, but I think Garcia will be comfortable on the inside. And the fact that he has the size and the range on the outside, even though he's not going to necessarily use it, because Garcia, he's a front-forward fighter too. And he's not going to get on his toes and box. That's just not what he's going to do. And any of Garcia's fights, he's not going to get on his toes and fight. When he fought Thurman, he was coming forward. When he fought Khan, he was coming forward. Garcia's not the type of guy that's going to box. And when he tried to box the Herrera fight, he looked like trash. So he's going to come forward. Porter's going to come forward. And I think Garcia is going to he's gonna land something, and he's going to get Porter attention. And I wouldn't be surprised if he does get a flash knockdown, similar to what Broner did or something like that. I don't think Porter has the power to hurt Garcia, though. I think he has the stamina. His goal is to get inside and rough it up and make it as rough as possible and do that for 12 rounds. But I don't think he can hurt Garcia either.
I don't know.
Yeah, go ahead.
Just real quick, Porter can actually hurt Garcia. Now it's going to be through an accumulation of physical exertion and punches. But once that, but that's Porter's style. But I think he can't hurt him, though.
Now, I mean, there's, you know, two other things here that, you know, about this particular bout that I think is what makes it an intriguing fight. One is, of course, the trainers, you know, the two fathers, Kenny Porter and Angel Garcia. And two, like, what would this be as far as, like, the direction of either fighter, you know, whether one wins or whether one loses? We know that the winner could possibly face Errol Spence Jr. For a unification bout. But for the loser, who knows what's, you know, next out there. To me, I feel like this fight is more – there's more on the line for Sean Porter in this particular fight than it is for Danny Garcia. I think Danny Garcia can still afford a loss and still be, you know, somewhat marketable. But with Sean Porter, I just don't see that. I don't see where – you know, he could get another fight where it would be kind of like at the level of, you know, main eventing at the Barclays Center, which has basically been the epicenter for the quote-unquote premier boxing champions fights, whether it's on Showtime or on network television. So those are the two things right there. I kind of feel, even though I'm leaning towards Porter in this fight, for some reason, I think Angel Garcia probably would be the better trainer between him and Kenny Porter. It's just that, you know, Sean Porter's, you know, physical presence would probably be too much for Danny Garcia. Let's see what you say at about that, Terrell, and then after that, World Rank.
I mean, you're fairly right in that assessment. I mean, that's one unique thing about this fight, though, from both corners. You got two father-son relationships, and that's great to see that. But once again, I'm just kind of going. I hate going back to the same wells, but Herman fight. I mean, it was solid advice from Angel. It was. That's in the sense of like. Didn't necessarily implore his fight on that like, we need this, you know. But at the same time, in contrast to the, like I said before, if this guy could clean up the thing, you would think that possibly that the camp will realize that, hey, I got my kid comes forward, head down, head fist up, we know that. But he just keeps the guys up, focused at his weapon. But we keep seeing the same quarter over and over. Yes, you are right. That's a better advice to come from the Garcia side, but hopefully we'll see some improvement on the quarter side.
True. Well, Rank, what you got?
All right, so I'm going to make my official pick is going to be Garcia by decision. I do think he'll get a knockdown at some point. In terms of who can't afford to lose a loss, I think Porter's going to always be a B-side. Even if he wins this fight, that's why I think it's more likely he'll get Spence because he's a B-side. So he's not going to have the bargaining tools that Garcia would have if he wins because Garcia is a more of a commodity and can ask for more in a fight. So in theory, Garcia could price himself out. If he doesn't really want the Spence fight, he can kind of price himself out. Where Porter seems like the type of guy that he'll take on any fight.
What a man.
So if he wins, he's more likely to get spent. I think
around here.
I think Garcia isn't a good boxer, but I think he has – he can do that better than Porter can fighting on the outside. And I think that is the difference. When you have more dimensions, we could do different things. Not that Garcia is good at boxing, but I think he can do that a little more better than Porter being on the outside. Because Porter has no chance if he's on the outside. Garcia still has a chance to kind of pick and pop Porter from the outside. Porter, he has one dimension. He has to come forward to win. And when you only have one dimension and the guy's preparing for you and they're at the level that you're at, it's hard to be able to overcome that when you don't have a different dimension.
Yeah, and that's the thing about this particular fight is that, I mean, I just feel like Garcia is more likely to be able to adjust, but it's basically up to him if he actually does that. Because to me, Porter is just, you know, one way the whole way from round one to round 12, and he doesn't really change much for anything. So, you know, with that, I mean, I don't kind of like see how, you know, Porter, I don't see like how Porter will, you know, kind of like adjust if Garcia does do something to like kind of throw him off. But for me, I just feel like Garcia just doesn't have either the speed or the movement to kind of like keep Porter at bay, because I just think that he's kind of like a straightforward type of guy, and he just waits on people. So that's why I say that, you know, he might have the better counter-punching game, but he still has to, like, basically set up and, you know, like World Rank said, he needs range in order to do that. So I don't think he's going to get that range against Sean Porter, and he's going to end up losing the fight. So... those listening in on Block Talk Radio and want to get in on the boxing talk, you can call in at 347-237-5539. That's 347-237-5539. In one of the other fights that is part of this card, which is a pretty stacked card, which kind of like includes the brother of a well-known heavyweight boxer, which we will mention a little bit later. I think the co-feature bout that they're going to have here is a heavyweight bout between Adam Kalnacki and Charles Martin. But before I get into all that, I may see if I have a guest on the show. I think if he's able to be on speakerphone here, he's going to be a guest speaker on here in just a moment. So let me see if he's able to – he'll be able to jump in here in a little bit. But we have that heavyweight fight between Adam Kalnacki and Charles Martin coming up. Of course, Kalnacki – we're up and coming, or rising heavyweight, you know, has a huge, huge Polish following. And, of course, Charles Martin is a former IBF champion who did win the vacant IBF championship at the Barclays Center in January of 2016. So it's something to bear where both of these guys are at in and around the heavyweight division. Like I said, Charles Martin, IBF champion, January 2016, lost the IBF championship, April 2016 to Anthony Joshua. Adam Kalnacki, now undefeated, you know, rising up the ranks in the heavyweight division, did defeat the other guy that was their contender in Archer Spilka. But it looks like we have a guest caller here, Eric Cove. 646, what's going on with you?
Well, unfortunately, JR, I'm in the lobby of a hotel in New York City, so I can't yell bomb squad like I normally would. But how you doing today, JR?
Oh man, yeah, I'm doing pretty well here, brother. Doing pretty well. Just getting into this whole thing here with the card that's going to be at the Barclays Center on Saturday night. You know, with Develop Promotions, working with Tom Brown Promotions to get this fight together. I did go through the Danny Garcia, Sean Porter fight, and looks like that co-feature will be Adam Kalnacki versus Charles Martin in a heavyweight bout. That's cool. You know, probably going,
I like that
matchup. That's going to have a good little bit of fans interested in that particular fight, and those that are, you know, have followed the heavyweight division over the past couple of years, going to be very intrigued by that fight to see if Charles Martin still walks this earth like a god, like he says he does.
He's never going to live that down.
I like to see where Charles Martin is at now since his loss in April 2016 against Anthony Joshua, and his kind of like his long layoff after that before getting back into the game. So wanted to get your thoughts about it.
Well, as you know, I have Adam Kalnacki in my top 10 of the heavyweight division. So I'm looking for Adam Kalnacki to put the pause on Mr. Charles Martin, because I don't think Charles Martin is that good of a boxer, to be honest with you. I think he obviously got lucky with his opponent, Glasgow, getting injured during the fight. That's the only reason why he is a former IBF champion. He was never really a champion, was never going to be champion. He, to me, is just, he's just another guy. So I'm looking for Adam Kalnacki. If he is who I think he is, he's going to put some pause on Charles Martin, and he is going to throw himself into the conversation for one of these alphabet belts that Anthony Joshua is holding.
Gotcha. So you think he's going to eventually overwhelm Charles Martin and get the win?
Yeah, definitely. I think, like, they both could bang. Don't get me wrong. Charles Martin, he has some nice power, but I don't think he has great boxing skills. And I think that I hate calling people lazy, but he's always seemed a bit lazy to me in and out of the ring. I don't think he's really taking his craft that seriously. So I think that, like, guys like that, whenever they're matched up with a good opponent, someone in the top 10 to 15 range, they always lose, man. He reminds me of, like, Chavez Jr. You know, everyone said, oh, he's in great shape. Look, he's changed. But then, you know, you put him up against one of the top five guys, something like that, same thing every single time. And I think that's what you're going to see from Charles Martin this coming weekend. I think Adam Kalnacki is going to beat him, and he's going to beat him convincingly.
Gotcha. Whirlwind, what you got on this particular fight?
Well, you know me, I'm the type of guy that loves to gloat, you know, about certain things. So, we go back to 2016. On this show, at the time, Anthony Joshua, Charles Martin. Some people thought that fight was a 50-50 fight. I said it on this show, AJ was going to dominate him. I said AJ was going to. There's a couple of people on this panel that was with me, and it was a couple of people that picked Charles Martin. After that fight, we also talked about Charles Martin picking himself up after the embarrassment, how he didn't handle himself right when he got knocked down, not understanding the count, and how things are different in the UK as opposed to the US, and just waiting the whole 10 seconds and all that, waiting to 10 and all that crazy stuff. It's going to be interesting to see how he picks himself up. This is his first major step up since he came back. Style-wise, I prefer Adam, I don't know how to pronounce his last name, the Polish
Kalnacki.
Kalnacki. I prefer his style better. Charles Martin, if you don't want to use the term lazy, I'm going to use the term lazy. He has a great jab, but it's a lazy jab. Other than that, I don't see much with him. He's the type of guy to me that can jab you for 12 rounds and win a fight. Adam has to get on the inside. I think this fight is similar to the Porter Garcia fight. Not to the extent that Porter has to get on the inside, but I think if Adam wants to win this fight, he has to get on the inside. He cannot sit on the outside with Charles Martin's jab, because if he does that, it's going to be a long night for him. I don't necessarily have a dog in the fight. I just prefer Adam's style to move on, because I don't necessarily want to see Charles Martin's style in another big fight. But it's an important fight for the division, like you guys said. Is this going to be on Showtime?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's going to be the third fight from the main event.
Okay.
And I think the cool feature is Ugas.
Okay.
So
yeah,
Ugas is going to be the co-feature against that guy whose name I can't pronounce.
Yeah, so this is going to be an important fight for the division. So it's interesting to see who wins and where they go after.
Oh. Cesar Miguel Barrio Nuevo. So Jenna has Dennis Ugas against Barrio Nuevo as the co-feature. Yeah, that's I don't know about that being a co-feature, but hey, whatever works for Ludabella, I guess. But yeah, with this particular fight here between Martin and Kalnacki, I just feel like I just think Kalnacki is going to outwork Martin. I don't know if Martin is going to be able to consistently put the jab against Adam Kalnacki, and I feel like Kalnacki is going to be able to get to the inside and get the win. Terrell, what you got to say on that?
Yeah, I'll be real quick on this one. So we'll talk about Charles Cash Out Martin, who basically ran sold his title to Joshua. I mean, I don't really care about what Charles Martin did before he got that belt. You know, he kind of walked into that by default when the guy got the injury a few years back. And we know what happened when Martin got into the ring with Joshua. I mean, he personally gave him – I'm not saying he gave him effort, but – I mean, there's no strength on his punches, nothing of consequence that would make you think, oh, this guy's he's doing everything he can to hold on to that belt. I mean, he personally gave nothing with Joshua anyway. You know, like just got knocked down. It wasn't a devastating knockdown, nothing like that at all. But I mean, we know what happened with that. So now going forward, in the weeks leading up to this fight with Wanaki, Charles Martin has already stated that, hey, I want to get my belts back. I want my title back. I want to be the best heavyweight ever. He's made statements like that. Now, your words and your actions at some point in time must match up in a ring. And do I believe that from Charles Martin? No, I don't. Now, and like I said, I don't have a dog in this fight either, but I'm just going to simply observe this just as a pure boxing fan. We have a guy that says he wants to get back on top. He sounds passionate in that statement with that. So we're going to see what's going to happen on this Saturday. I mean, but honestly, I don't see anything of consequence happening with Charles Martin. Now, that, and you also consider, you got so much happening in the heavyweight division. Tyson Fury, Wilder, Brazil, Dillian White, Parker, people like that. You got all kind of active players at the top of the heavyweight class. And just a couple years ago, Martin was right there with everybody because he had a belt. But at the same time, even though you have a belt, it doesn't automatically mean going to be the A-side, as we just discussed, in a sense with Porter, things like that. But having that belt gets you on TV, gets you a good deal, gets you to be the A-side, things like that. So, like I said, Martin is seeing all this stuff happening around him, and now he's definitely one of the odd people left out. So, once again, he said he wants to be one of the best, gets his belts back. So, from that, I want to see something of substance from Martin that makes me convinced to what's in the ring. That simple. Show me.
Well, I mean, that's what you have here so far with this fight between these two, with Adam and Charles Martin. So it's just going to be, I mean, to me, that this kind of like puts these two guys in the mix, like we're saying. Or like Matt was saying, he has Adam Kalnacki in the top 10 for the division at heavyweight. So this will kind of like, you know, solidify Kalnacki's place in the top 10 of the division and see where he's going to be able to go from there and possibly, you know, contend for one of the belts that Anthony Joshua has, because the other belt won't necessarily be in contention there anytime soon, and we may have something in reference to that. So in this particular part of the show, I actually want to, you know, diverge off of the preview of what's going on at the Barclays Center and go into the quote-unquote rumor part of the show. And so, of course, everyone knows about the talk that has been happening between the WBC heavyweight champion Deontay Wilder and former IBF, IBO, WBO, WBA, and lineal heavyweight champion Tyson Fury. They said that they were going to fight each other, and weeks have gone on, weeks and weeks and weeks, including the fight between Tyson Fury and Francisco Pianeta, where Deontay Wilder stepped into the ring and said, "Oh yeah, it's on." But, you know, up from that point, and, you know, for the past week and a half, we haven't really seen anything, quote unquote, official yet as far as like a date and venue. And the host of this show has been saying for the past week or so that he didn't feel like this fight was going to happen. And I still have my feelings on that. Now, the rumor is that the fight may not be next. But the word on the street is that on a date in November, Clay Center, there's going to be a doubleheader featuring Wilder and Fury in separate bouts. And then in 2019, they are going to face each other and, if possible, have a rematch in 2019. So you would see Wilder Fury quite possibly in April of 2019 and then have a rematch down the line. I can't say who in particular gave off this information, but he is a very prominent person in the whole Premier Boxing Champions banner. And if I could give the initials, but that may give it away, and the initials are SW, but y'all could pretty much picture who that particular person is. But that is the word on the street in reference to that. So first, I'm going to go with World Rank and see what he has as far as like reaction to that rumor.
James, come back to me.
All right, gotcha. Yeah, no problem. Terrell, go right ahead.
No problem. So, number one thing I'll say that happened after Fury's last fight, pretty much said next day or so after that fight was done, Showtime Box himself, came out with a graphic on Twitter where they were basically, it had Wilder and Fury on that fight, and that had the notation of a pay-per-view event. So Showtime themselves came out there officially on their Twitter handle. Cool, right? So you would think that adds more fuel to the fire. But at the same time, when you look at things more closer, and like it's always gone down in boxing, you have a date announced, you have a venue announced, and then you have, of course, you can build your undercard on top of that. Now, keep in mind, they said this is a pay-per-view event. Now, in this era now, we know that pay-per-view events in boxing are little to none now. Now, we definitely have one coming up right now in terms of Canelo Triple G. We know that. But that animal here, maybe within a few years. So, for Showtime to suggest that Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder can be on pay-per-view this fall, like they're leading people to believe. So once again, you look at the fall dates, right? So typically your last pay-per-view of the event is typically in November, around that second or third weekend, something like that. Or it could be in December, could be, but usually it's in November. So and even if you look at the scope, the calendar from the point, there are not any major events planned. I think there's one fight. I'm trying to think of the names, but there's one major fight in November that you have to consider. So you don't go against that date. So your pay-per-view can draw as many numbers as possible. But despite that, they still haven't announced a date. They still have not announced a venue. And yes, it definitely leads to confusion to the audience. Once again, especially when you think about venue, you think about Fury. Fury involved in that event. Is this people going to travel overseas? Do they have enough time to plan for that? And right now, this is September. And those dates are drawing down very, very fast. So your base doesn't have the proper time to plan for that, to come over to support the event. Wilder, I mean, I'm not going to say a whole lot about Wilder, someone that's never been on pay-per-view, that's never headlined a pay-per-view. So what is Wilder's face? I mean, I'm not going to address that because you guys already know about that. He does have a real big a crossover base like that. But really, like I said, it's just a shame that you got these people out here getting people excited for a fight that they want to see. But at the same time, during this time, there's not enough time to promote an actual pay-per-view event here within December, even if it's December, because you want to have a good world tour, New York, Vegas, New York, place like that, and even a couple of dates in Europe, the tour to promote the fight. And at this point, it's not going to. I think you're right, James. It might not happen. And even last week, Fury said himself, "Well, when September comes, I'm going back into training for the Wilder fight." And it's just sad now that you see so much smoke in boxing now in terms of stuff not happening and no real reasons on why it's not happening. It's ridiculous now.
Yeah, so that's the thing about it is like we don't necessarily know for sure what's going to be going on with all of that, but I wanted to see if I could get someone in to speak on it. Area code 205, you here with us?
What's going on, fellas? It's Mike Grady. How y'all doing?
What's going on, Mike?
Not much. I love you, Terrell. You know, I love you, Terrell, but you sound like a hater, man. I just had to throw that out there. do we care about, like, it'd be nice if it had a great promotion and all this and all that. We don't care. We just want to see the fight. Let them worry about the numbers. They say it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Deontay Wilder is going to come the lineal heavyweight champion. James is going to continue to be mad. And, I forgot what we bet on it, and I'll just win the bet, Oh, well, a different fight, but you get what I'm saying. But, yeah, what was the census? Because I know James said something.
You're talking about a bet. Like I said, that other one is going to be, definitely up there once that fight happens. So... I will be waiting. Well, I mean, it's at least $100 bet. You know what I mean? So that's the thing about that.
It's at least what?
So let's see. So but this is just something where I kind of had like a little rumor out there from someone that was close and said that they possibly wanted to sign Tyson Fury to a 3-fight deal. And so with that, what they would do is they would just have Tyson Fury have another warm-up fight in November of 2018 and then go into 2019 to fight Deontay Wilder for the WBC title and the lineal title or whatever it is in April 2019 and then have a rematch later on down the line in the year. So that would be something that they would push to Frank Warren to see if he would be interested in having Tyson Fury be part of that three-fight deal. So that's what I got off of that. Let me see if I can get another person on. 646, what you got on it?
Once again, the biggest fucking hater, the biggest turncoat, the traitor, JR, and apparently so proud.
Oh, come on, man.
The two biggest fucking Deontay Wilder haters on the face of the planet. You know, the other day when I spoke to you, JR, you said you had a little rumor about Deontay Wilder. I have a rumor about Wilder versus Fury also, because you're not the only one that keeps your ear to the street, okay? The real rumor, okay, that I'm hearing is that the fight is done. The fight is made. The announcement is not going to be made until the week of Joshua versus Usyk. And they are doing that so they can twist the knife into Eddie Hearn just one more time. That is why you no longer see me commenting on Wilder versus Fury. I have nothing to say about it. I've heard what I heard. Once Povetkin versus Joshua picks up that week, that is when you will hear the announcement of Wilder versus Fury to seal the assumption. So you and Jarrell and guys of your ilk can hate all you want. Hate all you want. Fight's not going to happen. Fight's not going to happen next. You can say whatever you want. At the end of the day, the fight is happening. The fight is happening next. The fight is happening in November. You know, I heard Terrell say that Tyson Fury said he was going to go into training camp to fight Deontay Wilder starting September 1st, right? Well, he also said that he was going to go into training camp for 10 weeks. 10 weeks. Let's do the math. November 17th. That is the day. That is the date. That's when it's going to happen. And all of you guys, all you Anthony Joshua sycophants, so that's what this is really about. Just you Anthony Joshua, the fan club. Deontay Wilder is going to have his first pay-per-view bout. It's not going to involve Anthony Joshua. And it's going to be the highest grossing heavyweight fight of the year. And all of you guys that's been talking shit about Wilder all these years are going to have to eat your words. And that is just the bottom line. And that's what I got to say about that.
Well, I mean, my thing was in reference to Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury. I did say, and Matt knows this, that if Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury face each other in 2018, that Deontay Wilder would win the fight. But,
yeah, but you say that, JR, but here's the thing. If they would have fought in 2015, if they would have fought in 2016, if they would have fought in 2013, 2014, Deontay Wilder would still win the fight. You like to qualify what you're going to say by 2018 as if Tyson Fury is some diminished guy and any other time he would beat Deontay Wilder. I'm here to tell you that Tyson Fury, from the day he was born up until now, there's no time in his life when he could beat Deontay Wilder in the boxing.
Well, let me tell you something, Matthew Brown. I am the best heavyweight in the planet, and I'm too fast and too tall. But right now, I am still losing some weight. I still have to get this crack out of my system. I still have to get this drinking out of my system. And then once I do, and then I'm able to fight Deontay Wilder, and it will be in 2019, then I will box the brakes off of him. There's only one Tyson Fury.
So that's what I, you know, pretty much got on that. Have about 2 minutes left with the show. For those that want to call in, you can call in at 347-237-5539. Once again, 347-237-5539. Press the one key to get on queue, and you'll be able to talk in live on the show. So that was like one of the things there that we had going on as far as like the overall rumor mill. But you know, seeing as that you know we got you know Matt on the line and Matt Grady on the line, I was talking about the fight card at the Barclays Center coming up this weekend. So I'm going to start with Mike Grady. The main event there is for the vacant WBC welterweight championship between Danny Garcia and Sean Porter. Of course, both of those guys, former welterweight champions. Danny Garcia, former WBC welterweight champion. Sean Porter, former IBF welterweight champion. And they're fighting each other for the belt that was vacated by Keith. Sometime Thurman that, you know, still in the process of his get back year. But, you know, even though he hasn't really got back yet. But I wanted to start here with Mike Grady. What do you have as far as, like, this fight between Porter and Garcia?
So, on my initial thoughts, without having gone back and, like, actually just staring at both guys, I go to the Danny Garcia and Rios fight. And so, in my opinion, Rios made the fight a competitive fight because of the pressure that he was, you know, bringing. And, you know, it just seemed to be, it seems that if you pressure Garcia, you are in front of the eight ball versus being behind it, whatever the saying is. It seemed like you do well if you pressure him. The only thing that you have to be weary of is his timing, because he has very, very impeccable timing. He seemed to time just the crap out of people. So it'd be interesting to see when Sean Porter does pressure him and Garcia times him with the left hook and lands it, how it affects Sean Porter. And again, I could see Sean Porter like winning a lot of the rounds just because of the pressure that he's bringing and pretty much staying in Garcia's face, in his chest sort of. And then Garcia, I don't know, possibly landing something that could possibly hurt Sean Porter. And then that'll be interesting. I don't think he would finish Sean Porter, but it'd be interesting if he did hurt him. Ultimately, I think the fight will be a majority decision. Majority or unanimous. It's either majority or unanimous for Sean Porter, because I think his activity beats most guys, especially the defensive-minded people who don't necessarily throw their hands. So it'll look like a more competitive Adrian Broner fight, a lot more competitive, probably a lot more interesting too. It'll be more interesting because Danny Garcia don't give you no uninteresting fights. He at least try to win the fight. So, yeah. That's my thoughts on it.
Okay. Yeah, so that's the thing that you have there. I mean, what I was saying earlier in reference to this fight was that it was going to be an intriguing fight, kind of like, I wouldn't say like a crossover fight to sorts between the two, but to me, I just feel like, you know, there's probably more on the line for Sean Porter than there is for Danny Garcia, as I feel like there, you know, probably are more opportunities for Danny Garcia to get, you know, higher profile fights, whether he won or whether he lost, than with Sean Porter. I think Sean Porter would kind of like be on the side or put on the shelf for a little bit, or put on reserve for a little bit if he lost his fight for another welterweight championship there. So that, you know, that's what I pretty much had on that. Real quick, what are you saying?
Put on reserve, why? Because he offers more challenges to people?
No, I would say put Porter on reserve because he wouldn't be viewed as a, you know, fighter that other guys would like to fight, whether they're on the rise or they're, you know, on mid-level. So my thing would be, is if Porter lost, the only one of the quickest options that I would see Porter have is probably most likely against Andre Berto again, who, you know, ended up winning recently against Devin Alexander. But, you know, other than that, I really don't see what would be an intriguing matchup for Sean Porter if he lost, with the exception of maybe one person if they don't give this guy a title shot after he gets a win in Barclays Center. And that's Jordanus Ugas, who has really been pursuing Errol Spence Jr. since he has held the number one spot for that IBF title that Errol Spence has. But let me see if I could get 646 in real quick with his with quick thoughts about Porter and Garcia. What you got to say on that, Matt?
I've been looking at this fight. I've been going back and forth when it was first announced. I was going with Danny Garcia. I think he's a better boxer. I think he's more powerful. And I think Porter's chin eventually is not going to continue to hold up. You know, he likes to go in head first. He's like the more guys. I think that he's been run into one of those patent is left hooks from Danny Garcia. Over the few weeks, I kind of waffled on my prediction, thinking that maybe Porter's going to overwhelm. I do like the way Porter has been looking in training camp. I do like that Porter seems very confident in what he's going to do to Garcia. But ultimately, I think Garcia is the better boxer. I think Garcia is the better puncher. I think that Garcia is a lot tougher than people give him credit for. And I think Danny Garcia is going to end up getting knocked out.
Yeah, so one of the things that I was saying is that I was looking to see if Garcia would be able to be the one that could box Sean Porter in this particular fight. And he, of course, I see him as being the better, you know, counterpuncher in this particular fight between him and Sean Porter. But with Porter's style, if he's able to just continue to get to the inside and continue to get there, I'm not, you know, absolutely certain that Danny Garcia would be able to be successful with that counterpunching ability unless if he tries to keep his range to try to, you know, throw a jab to start off the fight against Sean Porter. I don't know if he wants to get into a brawl of sorts with Porter like he did against Keith Thurman for those first three rounds, but he does have that left hook, which is still, you know, something to look out for, you know, even with him being at the welterweight division. All right, right now we are at the overtime section of the Boxing Source Radio Show, and really don't, you know, have that much out there in particular for the overtime section. But now let's see if we have probably, you know, something coming up. I mean, we have the Superfly card, Superfly 3. And it's going to be at the same night as the fight card that's at the Barclays Center. Now, the thing with Superfly 3, of course, we had the first, you know, Superfly. That was a very good card that they had. And then with that, the success of that, you know, they were able to follow that up with Superfly 2. So, you know, what they were going to do is they were going to have Superfly 3 going on, and that features, you know, Juan Francisco Estrada going up against Felipe Orosuso. You also have Dani Nietes versus Aston Felice for the vacant WBO super flyweight title, and McWilliams Arroyo will go up against Kazuto Ioka for the WBC silver super flyweight title. So actually that fight between McWilliams Arroyo and Kazuto Ioka is going to be very intriguing, because you had the fight there with McWilliams Arroyo in his last fight against Carlos Quadras. He was able to get the majority decision win, outworking Quadras to get that win. But now he faces, you know, Tokyo's Kazuto Ioka, who has been a world flyweight title champion for a good little while since 2015, coming up to the super flyweight division to fight against Arroyo. So we're going to see what he's going to be able to do in that one. What I would like to do is first, I'm going to see if I can get world ranked on.
Let's
see if we can talk about that.
Yeah, I'm on. So, this Superfly card, man, it's kind of, you know, I love boxing. I love watching boxing. But the hype that these guys get from a certain group of people, you know, and these all are, and I'm not discrediting some of these guys. Some of these guys are world-class fighters. But even if you go back to Roman Gonzalez, you know, people crowning him pound for pound number one and all this and all that. And if you look at his resume, it's a good resume, but the guys that he beat, the casual fan would not know. And they're doing it with Inoue, and, you know, it's just – now, these guys deserve credit, but these guys are so overhyped now. Again, I just say it's a certain type of demographic or a certain type of group of people that are crowning these guys because they want to be, you know – the type of guys to be first in line and say, I saw this guy first, or I say that I crowned this guy first or whatever. I mean, it's a decent card. I know these guys because I'm a hardcore. I'm going to watch them. But, you know, kind of how Twitter does these little guys and hype them up, it kind of turns me off a little bit. I mean, it's a good card, and these guys deserve the opportunity to fight or whatever and get decent money. But where's Rasheed Warren? He's in the same weight class. He's a former world champion. He ain't, they didn't put him in a Super 8 or the Super 6 or whatever that is. He's not getting those shots on his Superfly stuff. Just a year ago or 2 years ago, he was the world champion, but now he can't seem to get a relevant fight. And I just, and again, it goes back to, you know, guys choosing different people for different reasons. I mean, I know I'm going off into something else, but that's just how I feel about the card.
Yeah, Rasheed Warren, I think, was, you know, kind of being, like, competitive, but I don't know if he was going to be involved in that particular card there with K2 Promotions and Tom Mulford. So, not sure if he was going to be somebody that was going to be involved in that particular matchup. Next, I want to see if I can get a follow-up with first Terrell, then Mike Brady, and then I'm going to put in Matt.
Yeah, just real quick, I'm glad to see some activity going on down in the lower weight classes. I mean, here recently we got a good defense by Dog Wolf out of Ghana when he got his first round knockout with a guy from, I think, from Japan, stuff like that. But, I mean, there's a lot of talent down there in these lower weight classes. We just hope that we continue to get that going forward. Thank you.
I don't know who on the card, to be honest. I don't know if I can even speak. But what I can speak on is I watched one episode of The Contender, and they got a lot of, you know, nice guys on there, at least guys who I've seen fight before on the PBC. Random coming. I don't know who else has seen that.
All right, then, man. Get Matt on the line and talk about Superfly 3 here real quick. So go ahead, Matt.
Yeah, that was a really weird tangent my man went on just now. I don't know what the contender got to do with Superfly. But
I said, I don't know.
Honestly, this is probably the weakest of the Superfly cards. It's been getting weaker and weaker every single year. To me, Superfly is just similar to the Triple G Mexican-style gimmick. Nothing super about these guys. It's just regular fight. You don't ever have Saul Rungvisai on the card. You know, the monster moved up. Chocolatito is in witness protection until September 15th. So I'm not really that interested. Maybe if they would have had a couple of these guys fight each other instead of having stay busy fights on the same card, I would be more interested in it. But to me, this card is just a referendum on where HBO is at right now. HBO is the worst boxing channel there is. It's sad to see how far they've fallen. All of their fights are on pay-per-view. The decent ones, you might be able to catch a decent card maybe once or twice a year. But it seems like HBO is getting out of the boxing business. I bet you this card probably costs HBO maybe $1 million, $2 million total. You know, you can see with the product that they're putting out. I'm looking forward to seeing my man, Donny Nietes. He's a Filipino legend, you know, unlike Manny Pacquiao. I'm looking forward to my man, Yoka, versus McQueen DeRoyo. We'll just see, you know, what happens. Maybe, hopefully, later on, these guys can match up maybe sometime in the first quarter of 2019. Other than that, I don't really have much interest in this card.
Well, it looks like that's going to be a card that is similar to, you know, when HBO had the card at the same time as Showtime on March, which had both fight cards in the New York City area, one at Madison Square Garden, one at the Barclays Center. Madison Square Garden, you had Sergey Kovalev fighting Shabransky or, you know, whoever it was, but the Barclays Center had, you know, Deontay Wilder versus Luis Ortiz, and you had Darrell versus Zeus Category 2 as a co-feature. So, I mean, a lot, you know, the thing about it is that is they're going to have probably more people watching the Showtime card than the HBO card. I'm not necessarily intrigued with anything that the Superfly 3 card has in store. Of course, you know, Chocolatito Gonzalez is supposed to be involved with the fight card that's going to include the middleweight championship fight between Gennady Golovkin and Canelo Alvarez. So that's kind of like gets all the interest for the Superfly 3 card kind of like goes out of the window. But that's pretty much what I had to say on that. You know, with that, just wanted to add that in, put a close to this episode of the Boxing Source Radio Show Labor Day Edition. Next week, I will get into the review of those fight cards and look forward to September 15th and, of course, that fight card that's going to be in Las Vegas with the main event, Gennady Golovkin, Saul Canelo Alvarez, and also probably preview what's upcoming with the channel that Matt likes so much, and that is The Zone. And he's going to be very excited that channel is going to be debuting in the U.S. in later on in a couple of weeks. But with that, is there anything else that anyone likes to add before I roll out?
I mean, I asked, did anybody see the contender, and nobody responded. But, you know, hey, maybe y'all didn't see it.
No one's seen the contender yet, man. Sorry to break it to you. I like to binge watch things myself, but I guess what channel is it? It's on Epix, right?
Yep. Would you like to know some names who's in it?
Yeah,
it's pretty interesting names. You remember, it's a guy named Brandon who fought out of Andre Ward's gym. He fought, like, in one like, real title fight. He fought against, like, one of these champions. I forgot who it was, but Brandon something. He's fighting Shane Mosley's son in there, which is not saying much, I guess.
In there.
Julian Jackson's son is in there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like two or three more that have been on like the PBC. It was a guy who he was a Q. He fought like on one of Deontay Wilder cards, I believe.
Okay.
On a PBC, he lost. And it's an older guy who he fights all these champions and he always lose. I forgot his name. But yes, a lot of names that I've seen fight before.
Now, let me ask you a question. Is this show you think is going to be building towards one of these fighters becoming a breakout star? Like, what are you seeing with that?
Honestly,
who are they focusing on?
Like, I could see them leaving Mosley's son in until later, like not letting him fight until later, because in my opinion, I don't think he's very, very skillful. But maybe he's gotten better. I think that not many of these guys, in my opinion, have that it factor. But maybe they'll be, you know, like a Saki Obika or even Sergio Mora. Enough of those contender guys, once they did come out to fire, were competitive. So maybe it'll be just that. But I know some of the guys, like the Brandon whoever guy, is probably one of the front runners. And then it's Brandon Adams, there you go. I think he's probably like the front runner. And, you know, what I'm seeing is a lot of these guys don't have win, and the guys who have win are going to win. Because it's only five rounds. And if you can, you know, keep up a consistent punch rate in five rounds, this tournament is yours. And I think Brandon Adams can do that. But
yeah,
I don't see anybody turning to like a big star or anything. Just me personally.
Yeah, I see that. You know, you got like Shane Mosley Jr. in there as a, you know, one of the notable guys in there. So you have Shane Mosley Jr., Marcos Hernandez of Fresno, California, Tyrone Brunson of Philadelphia, Lamar Russ of Wilmington, North Carolina, like I said, John Jackson, Devon Lee out of Queens is also part of that, Morgan Fitch of Pittsburgh is there, Joe Terrell, Michael Moore, who is, you know, part of the Boxino Junior Middleweight Tournament, Daniel Valdivia is in there. Quartavious Cash out of Las Vegas, coming from Atlanta, is on there. Malcolm McAllister, Brandon Adams, as mentioned, John Thompson, Eric Walker, and Evgeny Kachov from Ukraine is also part of it. So pretty much a full list of fighters out there. But just have to see if I catch a few shows to see who, you know, who kind of like seems like they're going to be coming out as far as like the favorite two come out of this contender series and see what that, you know, ends up getting for the winner of the contender out there. So that's pretty much what I got out of that. Anything from a world rank on this? All right, see if it was on or not. Not sure. Terrell, you got something?
No, not too much. You know, at this point now, this is September, so we're going to our last quarter of boxing for the year. Obviously, we're looking forward, like I said, to the upcoming Triple G Canelo fight. There's also a series on HBO 24/7 for that fight that's going on as well. That gives some additional content for that, for the background of that fight. I mean, other than that, not a whole lot going on for the rest of the year as far as major fights, things like that. So it's been a solid year so far, so we're just looking forward to getting into this last quarter.
True that, true that. So pretty much what I have to cover for this this week's episode of the Boston Source Radio Show. Probably catch with y'all next week. And so you'll see another series of show series with the Boston Source Radio Show. Be on this regular scheduled time, Sunday at 7:30. And so, you know, with that, like I said, at the end of every show, the point of boxing is to hit and not get hit, not to send and trade. On that note, I'm out. Have a good evening, everybody.
Later.